You've got your cross-country route laid out. You know where you're going. Weather looks generally okay. You pull up a standard briefing on 1800wxbrief.com and you scroll down past the synopsis, past the current conditions, and you hit a section that looks like this: 3,009900, 6,0415 plus 03, 9,0524 minus 05, 12,0635 minus 12, and you just stare at it. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to decode that, because the Winds Aloft forecast is one of the most useful tools in your entire weather briefing, and it's also one of the most misunderstood by student pilots. By the end of this segment, that table of numbers is going to make sense, and it's going to make you a better planner on every cross-country you ever fly. Let's walk through this together. The Winds Aloft forecast, officially called the forecast winds and temperatures aloft, sometimes called FD winds, sometimes called FB winds, depending on which tool you're using, gives you predicted wind direction, wind speed, and temperature at a series of altitude levels above the surface. The levels in the standard product are 3,000, 6,000, 9,000, 12,000, 18,000, 24,000, 30,000, 34,000, and 39,000 feet. For most of us flying light general aviation aircraft, we're working with 3,000 through maybe 12 or 18,000. That's our neighborhood. The product is issued 4 times a day and is valid at specific times. You'll see it labeled with an issuance time and a valid time. This matters. When you're planning a cross-country for this afternoon, you want the forecast valid for this afternoon, not the one that was good for this morning. Check those labels before you start reading the data. Now, a quick word about where you find this. 1800wxbrief.com is the official source. You'll see it in your standard briefing. You can also access it directly through the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov if you want to pull it up independently. Both are valid. Both pull from the same underlying data. And here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. A lot of flight instructors breeze past the Winds Aloft forecast in ground school because there's so much to cover and it doesn't feel as dramatic as, say, a SIGMET or a convective outlook. But this product shows up on every single cross-country. You will use it more than almost anything else in the weather briefing toolkit. So let's get comfortable with it. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com before we dive deeper. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial, there's a coin for all of it. If you are working through training right now, this is a genuinely great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's decode the format. Take that example from the top. 6,0415 plus 03. Here's how to read it, piece by piece. The first two digits are the wind direction in tens of degrees magnetic. 04 means 040 degrees. That is 40 degrees magnetic. The wind is coming from the northeast. The next two digits are the wind speed in knots. 15 means 15 knots. The number after the space is the temperature in degrees Celsius. Plus 03 means positive 3 degrees Celsius at that altitude. Put it together at 6,000 feet, winds from 040 at 15 knots, temperature plus 3 degrees Celsius. That is the whole code. Once you see the pattern, it stays with you. Now let's look at the 9,000 level from our example. 0524 minus 05 wind from 050. So roughly northeast again, slightly more north at 24 knots, temperature minus 5 degrees Celsius, and the 12,000 level 0635 minus 12. Wind from 060 at 35 knots, temperature minus 12 degrees Celsius. So in this picture, the winds are veering, shifting clockwise from northeast at 6,000 to more easterly at 12,000, and they are accelerating as you climb. Temperature is dropping. This is a coherent weather picture, and you can build a real mental model from it. Now let me walk you through the special codes you will encounter. 9900 means the wind is calm or light and variable. The forecasters didn't predict a significant directional flow at that altitude, so they mark it with 9900. You will see this often at the 3,000-foot level, particularly on mild days. It is not a problem. It just means there's nothing to report. Here's one that catches people. If you see a direction number between 51 and 86, that means the wind speed is over 100 knots. The forecasters add 50 to the direction digits and subtract 100 from the speed digits to pack it into the same format. So 0835 would mean the direction is actually 030. You subtract 50 from 08 to get 03, and the speed is 135 knots. You add 100 to 35. You're not going to see this at 9,000 feet on a typical training day, but it exists. The jet stream occasionally makes an appearance in the data, and you should know what it looks like. And if you see 9999, all nines, that is, a station that simply did not have a forecast for that altitude. It might be below terrain, or the data is unavailable. Skip it and look at the next station. Now let's talk about what you actually do with this. Altitude selection on a cross-country seems straightforward until you start thinking about it seriously. The hemispheric rule gives you your baseline, odd thousands plus 500 heading eastbound, even thousands plus 500 heading westbound. That is your VFR cruising altitude framework. But within that framework, you usually have multiple choices. Eastbound, you might legally fly at 3,500, 5,500, 9,500, or 11,500. Which one? This is where the wind's aloft forecast earns its keep. Pull up the data for the stations along your route, not just your departure, not just your destination, but the stations in between as well. Look at each candidate altitude. Write down the wind direction, the wind speed, and the temperature. Then think about your track. If you're flying eastbound on a heading of roughly 090, and the wind at 5,500 is from 350 at 12 knots, that is almost a pure crosswind, essentially neutral on your ground speed. If the wind at 7,500 is from 270 at 15 knots, that is a tailwind. A direct tailwind of 15 knots in a Cessna 172 is meaningful. That is real time saved, real fuel conserved, real margin added to your reserves. And it goes the other way too. If the wind at 7,500 is from 090 at 20 knots, right on your nose, that is a significant headwind that could stretch your flight time and tighten your fuel picture. The winds aloft forecast lets you see those differences before you leave the ground. Choosing your altitude is not just about legality and obstacle clearance, it is about optimizing your flight. Here's a practical thing to do when you're planning. Look at stations along the route, not just one. Winds can change along a 200-mile trip. A tailwind in the first half can become a headwind in the second half at the same altitude. Looking at multiple reporting stations gives you a longitudinal view of what the air mass is doing. Sometimes the right answer is to climb higher after the halfway point, or to plan a descent earlier than you otherwise would. Now, the temperature column. This is where the winds aloft forecast becomes a safety tool, not just a planning tool. The temperature at altitude is your primary indicator of icing risk at cruise. If you're planning to fly in or near clouds and the temperature at your cruise altitude is at or below 0 degrees Celsius, you have potential icing conditions. Your aircraft's pilot's operating handbook will tell you what your airplane is certified to handle. Most training aircraft are not approved for flight into known icing. That is a hard limit. The temperature data in the winds aloft forecast lets you assess this before you go. If you're looking at a flight where you might be scud running below a layer or transitioning through a thin overcast, you can see at a glance whether the temperatures at those altitudes are above or below freezing. Sometimes you can find an altitude that puts you comfortably above the layer or well below it where the temperature is a hospitable plus 12 or plus 15 degrees Celsius. The temperature data also lets you estimate the freezing level. If 6,000 feet shows plus 4 degrees Celsius and 9,000 feet shows minus 3 degrees Celsius, your freezing level is somewhere around 7,500 feet, depending on the lapse rate. Cross that against your cloud tops and bases, and you have a real picture of where the icing environment begins. This is not a minor detail. Continued flight into icing conditions in an aircraft not equipped for it is exactly the kind of thing that ends badly. The temperature column is one of your earliest warning systems. Now, a few things the winds aloft forecast does not tell you. It does not cover surface winds. For that, you have your MATAR for current surface conditions and your TAF, terminal aerodrome forecast, for what's expected at your destination. The winds aloft product starts at 3,000 feet above sea level and goes up. What's happening at the pattern altitude or on the runway is a separate product. It also does not account for local effects. If you're flying through mountain terrain, significant water bodies, or any geography that interacts strongly with the wind, the actual conditions may differ meaningfully from the forecast. A 20-knot westerly wind forecast at 9,000 feet means something different in the Rockies than it does over Kansas. Over terrain, that flow can produce mechanical turbulence, rotor, or mountain wave that the winds aloft forecast will not explicitly call out. Pair your winds aloft data with the airmits for turbulence and any available pilot reports when you're flying near significant terrain. Let me give you the context for where the winds aloft fits in the full standard briefing structure. A standard briefing follows a defined sequence. It opens with adverse conditions, anything significant you need to know about immediately. then the synopsis, the large-scale weather pattern, then current conditions, METERS, pilot reports, anything affecting your departure, then the en route forecast, then destination forecast, including the TAF if one is available, then winds and temperatures aloft, then NOTAMs, the ATC delays if applicable. The winds aloft comes near the end of that sequence, but do not let its position in the briefing make you think it's an afterthought. A lot of pilots rush through the early sections of a briefing and then barely glance at the winds aloft table. But that product is where you make your altitude decision. And your altitude decision touches everything downstream: your fuel burn, your flight time, your icing risk, your turbulence exposure, your alternates. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate require you to be able to obtain, read, and analyze weather information. That includes the winds aloft forecast on your check ride. The examiner may hand you a weather briefing packet and ask you to justify your altitude selection. You need to be able to point to the data and say, "I chose 7,500 feet because at that altitude I have a tailwind component of 10 knots. The temperature is well above freezing at -2, and this altitude complies with the hemispheric rule for my direction of flight. Additionally, the en route forecast shows clear skies at that level, so I have VFR conditions throughout." That is a complete defensible answer. That is exactly what the examiner is looking for. Here is a practical exercise. Before your next cross-country, or even as a ground exercise if you're not flying this week, pull up 1800wxbrief.com and request a standard briefing for any route of your choosing. Go to the winds aloft section, identify at least three candidate altitudes that comply with the hemispheric rule for your direction of flight. For each altitude, note the wind direction, wind speed, and temperature. Estimate your headwind or tailwind component based on your track. Then pick the best altitude and cross-check it against the en route forecast. Are you in clear air? Are you above the clouds or below them? Is the temperature safe? Do that exercise 3 or 4 times, and the winds aloft table goes from a cryptic block of codes to a planning tool you actually trust. One last thing worth saying. The winds aloft forecast is a forecast. It is a prediction of what conditions will be. Actual winds at altitude can and do differ from what was predicted, sometimes significantly, especially with rapidly changing weather or in areas where the forecast models have limited data. This is why pilot reports are so valuable. A PIREP from someone who flew the route 2 hours ago and reported actual winds at altitude is real-world data that the forecast cannot match. Check for PIREPs along your route when you can. They are not always available, especially on low-traffic days and rural routes. But when they exist, read them. The whole discipline of weather briefing is about building a mental picture of what you are going to encounter. No single product gives you the complete picture alone. The METERTAR tells you what is happening right now at that specific airport. The TAF tells you what to expect at the destination over the next day. The winds aloft tells you what cruise conditions look like along the route. The AirMets tell you about widespread significant conditions. Put them all together, and you have a picture you can actually fly against. And when that picture is incomplete, or when the pieces don't add up to a comfortable flight, that is exactly when you make the call to wait. That is not failing the mission. That is the entire point of doing the briefing in the first place. Plan the flight on the ground. Make the go, no-go decision on the ground. And on the days when everything lines up, good weather, favorable winds, clear air at your chosen altitude, there is nothing quite like leveling off at 7,500 feet with a tailwind behind you, watching the ground track scroll underneath, knowing you did the work before you ever started the engine. That is the payoff. Sources for today include the Federal Aviation Administration's Aeronautical Information Manual, the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov, and the National Weather Service. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly smart out there.